Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to the show. Ooh, my voice coming out of the gate. Not great. I have been singing all day. I have to say I was in the recording studio. So my voice is a little shot. But I really tried to get, like, you could hear a crack on that. Not to brag or anything, but I, you know, wrote and recorded a song this week, and it's the first time I ever did it, and it's gonna be fucking good. And you're not supposed to, like, say something's gonna be good before, like, you're supposed to undersell it, but I really think this is gonna be good, and I think you guys are gonna like it. So, I'm just putting that out there. Yeah, I wrote a pop song. Brian Frangie's here, Noah is here, and we have a special guest, a friend who I've known for so many years, and it has been actually over a year, probably a couple years since we've like really connected. So I'm so excited to have her here. She's so funny. She is so cool. And she has a new special tape, or she's taping a new special April 6th in Madison, Wisconsin. And we're going to find out where in just a second, because I did not get that detail. It's Kelsey Cook.
Hello.
Yay. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Thanks for being here. This is the beauty of having a podcast, is that you get a text from your producer being like, would you like to have on comedian Kelsey Cook? And like all this information about you, I'm like, yeah, she's my friend. Yeah, of course her, yeah. I would. It's just, yeah, I was like, oh my God, of course. I haven't talked to her in so long, and this will be a great way for us to catch up, because I've been watching you from afar, but we just, I think our last conversation was like during COVID. We talked for like an hour on the phone. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, we talked during COVID, during all of the insanity. And then shortly after that, my whole life, like, completely changed. I moved from LA to Spokane, Washington, and I was living there for 2 years. And we don't have
Whoa,
to get
in. I didn't know you were there.
Yeah.
And that's where you're from, right?
That's where I'm from. And I think you were living in St. Louis already at that point.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was already in deep in my hometown. Yeah.
Still there.
Yes.
We just went to Spokane.
Yeah, we were in Spokane at
in December.
Kind of casino.
We were at a casino that was hidden in a military base or something.
That sounds like that all checks out for Spokane.
Yeah,
you were such a pioneer in the leaving LA or New York during that time and having a better life for it, I think. Just being happier.
Yeah, did you discover that when you moved back? Was it better for you?
Yeah, it was better in ways and harder in certain ways. We don't have to get super into it because it's dark. But a few weeks after I moved back home, my mom went into the hospital and ended up staying in there for 5 months and was diagnosed with dementia while she was in there. And so,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. So
fuck.
The 2 years that I was there were like the lowest lows of going through all of that.
Damn.
And then I also, it was so random because, you know, a lot of people had started to post more and more content on their social media during the pandemic. And I got seen by an agent at CAA while I was living in Spokane, and mm-hmm. ended up being signed by them. And then they booked out this whole massive tour. So it was, yeah, like such lows personally. And then things with my career started to get really busy. And it was just like a weird couple of years of a lot of things happening. But
yeah, well, I'm glad you had some good in there as well, because
that's the way it always goes. You can't have all your pillars good at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
In order to have one up, you need to have one down.
Oh, yeah. Brian has this pillars theory of life. I don't even think you brought it up on the podcast yet. Like, but no, what are the pillars of life that you need to?
I'll have to do. I'll have to review because I'm not gonna be able to deliver this quickly because I forget. So I'll review my pillars and bring it back in a future episode. But
okay,
the point is, I feel like there's a balance, and like in order for ups to happen, there needs to be downs. I feel like it never is all working out at the same time.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, some people it seems to. Maybe I just don't know what's really going on in their personal life. But
no.
Was it hard to celebrate those highs, or was it a huge relief? Was there like a guilt associated with it? Was there get out of here? What was the feeling when the good news came?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I feel like so my mom's now had dementia for 3 years, and it has been so interesting that when something good in my life happens, I do have, of course, that moment of like, oh, yay, this is so exciting. And then there's also now this sadness of wishing I could tell my mom and that she would know what it means for you know, whatever I'm sharing, because she's always been like biggest fan, biggest supporter. So yeah, it's so hard.
How quickly did she get past the point of being able to understand something like that and celebrate it with you in a way that would mean something to you?
So in that time that she was in the hospital, at one point they thought she had 6 weeks left to live. Like, she had become catatonic, like wasn't
eating.
Yeah. And then she kind of miraculously pulled through that, got out of the hospital, but I mean, has been like on and off of hospice for 3 years. So dementia, I didn't know anything about dementia until her getting diagnosed with it, but it's so not linear. It's not like, oh, you can like see exactly it going down. It's like some days it takes a nosedive and you feel like you're not going to get any portion of that person back. And then they'll kind of, you know, come back in ways. So I would say it's been probably like a year that, like in this past year, has been a lot less of her being able to really know what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. So it comes and goes. There's like signs of it at first, and then she'll remember the next, like it's bouncing all over the place.
Yeah. It's just
yikes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, girl.
It's like Mario Lopez's career. You think it's going to go.
Brian.
And then all of a sudden, it's back.
It's not going anywhere. It goes up. It has ups and downs.
Yes.
But it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
He's not going away. Unfortunately, dementia doesn't go away.
I know. That's so, I would have never made a Mario Lopez career correlation. My mom's
that's
dementia.
What Brian's
that's
here
what
for.
Brian, that's yeah. a specific skill set.
And you know what? That's what, like, obviously, I was about to ask you, because I have a friend whose parent is going through the same thing. He's a comedian. And I'm like, the way he talks about, there's like some really funny shit that's happening with dementia, because it's someone who's like blackout drunk all the time and like kind of like operating like there's humor within it, because it's so tragic. What really else can you get from it except all the sadness? There's got to be moments of like his dad like put a hairdryer in the microwave and like won't stop trying to do that. Like, he has to cook this hairdryer. And it's like, why does he need to do this? Yes. Like, there's this urgency about it, and they can't leave him alone because that will 100% happen.
Right.
And I remember being like, you got to talk about this on stage. He's like, people don't laugh when I talk about it. And I go, oh, it's because it's too sad to you still.
Yeah, it's also not, so horrifying, you know, that
it is ever, no one wants to
think
about
fear.
It. It's
like my worst fear.
Because it's looming for all of us and all of our loved ones. It's like the thing you don't, like you were saying you didn't know much about dementia before. Like, lots of our parents are going to get it. And we all are like blinders till it happens. Because what am I supposed to do? Like, start reading about it now and getting depressed before it happens? Like, you got to get blindsided so you protect your fucking sanity until it happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll stop sleeping if it's something you're afraid of all the time, because it is truly such a nightmare. But so you're talking about your friend who is going through it and has these things that still seem too dark to talk about on stage. So I felt that way for a while. Like, I barely talked about what was going on with my mom publicly for the first couple years of it, just because I didn't know how much I wanted to share. And then I started to talk about certain parts of it on stage. And now it's like the last, maybe like third of my hour that I'm about to tape.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. And
it's at that place.
And now I do have people who come up after shows who do have family members with dementia or have lost a family member to dementia that are like, thank you so much for talking about this.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm still honoring her to talk about it, because I'm saying, like, she has dementia, but she is so smart and funny that even with dementia, she's still so crafty and like sharing these things that she'll say and do. And yeah, I mean, I just think there's a way that you can talk about it that's healing for you and is still respectful to them. So,
yes, and that's such a balance, because yes, there is a way to really throw them under the bus if you want to and not handle it with care. And that's probably what makes you nervous to even talk about it. And when I said it's exciting, that felt like the wrong word. But what I'm talking about is like, when you have this breakthrough, when you're struggling with a topic that you're like, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to talk about this. I wish I could, but I don't think there's ever going to be a chance. And now it's a third of your fucking new hour. That's like this. That means that you have found a way to make it really not only personal, but universal. And that, like, people are, and you're, it's how exciting to be talking about something that kind of feels taboo and being able to make it such a huge chunk of your set. I'm so excited to see this material.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean,
oh my God.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I want to see I savored a clip I saw of yours yesterday. Because it was some crowd work you were doing with someone who is a fan of your boyfriend's, Chad Daniels, who is an amazing comedian. And I haven't talked to you since you guys got together. And I've known him for years. So it was like these two people from my two separate worlds coming together, not to make it about me, but it's just when you find out two of your friends have found each other, you're like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. It's so exciting. I'm so excited about Chad. But that that clip was so funny.
Thank you.
Of this woman at the club being like, I know your boyfriend, and being like, I'm a huge fan, and you're like, easy lady. And I'll save what Kelsey does, but Kelsey has a really hilarious physical moment that she it was just so quick and so sharp. You got to go watch that clip, Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram. How did you and Chad, well, I guess we have to go to break soon, but I just want to get into the chat of it. Yeah. I love talking about relationships, and that is what a bright spot that has seemed to be, just from me watching, like, stalking you guys on Instagram and projecting my own assumptions about your relationship onto you. It seems perfect. It seems ideal. You're both so funny. Tell me it's as good as it looks. How long have you guys been together?
We've been together for about a year and a half now, and we started a podcast together recently, which
that's commitment.
That's commitment. Dude, that's like bigger. We bought
getting a dog.
Yeah, we bought a house together.
Levels. Year. Okay.
And, but I feel like the podcast is an even bigger. Like, you could privately sell a house. You can't privately end a podcast if this goes.
That's such a good
wrong
point.
Like, so there will have to be a public explanation.
You guys will have custody of the podcast.
Yeah.
Take turns hosting it.
Yeah,
That's what's the podcast called, and when did it already start?
Yeah, so it's called Pretend Problems, and there are 10 episodes out so far. So the videos are on YouTube, but the audio is on all podcast platforms. But
awesome.
Okay. Yeah. So we're being pretty open about the problems that we've gone through, and then we take listener questions and try to give advice.
As a couple individually? As a couple. Oh, that's what I like. That's what I wanted to do with my boyfriend, but I was too scared because it would turn into like a fight. Like, I was scared I would lose control of it and it would become not fun to listen to. And there would be too many stop downs of like, we can't air this. Like, there have, yeah. have there been moments like that with you guys where you're like, can we air this? Like, this is getting heated.
We were learning that it's better for, like, if we do want to get into something that was and like an actual hard thing to talk about in the moment, that we have to let it be completely cooled off before we talk about it on the podcast. So we had talked through an argument that we had that in like what it was about was so stupid and silly, which are, you know, 99% of relationship fights, I feel.
Can
like.
You tell me what it was about? Do you remember this one?
Yeah, we were walking to our car in a parking garage, and Chad is just like, he just becomes Jason Bourne in public, where he just like feels like he knows the most efficient way to do everything transportation wise, yeah. but he doesn't communicate that with the people around him. And so I'm like, and I'm very like, I have like my hood up. I'm like, I don't even know where I'm walking. I'm just in another world.
Yeah. You're just blindly following him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
he's parkouring.
Truly. Yeah. So he felt like I was in the way of a car coming, and he kind of tried to like shepherd me like out of the way. But in that moment, it felt like, I don't know. I mean, he is older than me. And I think I felt like that girl feeling of like, I can do it. Like, I don't need you to like tell me like where to walk or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of shut down for a few minutes, which is his ultimate, like, hates a silent treatment.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to give a silent treatment. I'm more like, I want to take a few minutes to think before I talk. And Todd would rather,
those
like,
two are so like
so relatable.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Everyone that does the silent treatment most of the time isn't trying to. They're just like, that's their weird processing shit. And the people that hate the silent treatment or being given it have no idea what that is. Like, find that me, like, I hate the silent treatment too. And when I get it, I'm just like, just get over it now. Like, you know, I didn't mean to. You know, it didn't mean to make you feel like a child. Do you understand that?
Right.
Okay, yes. Now, like, let's go back to being happy. Like, I said sorry. And they usually need to like process it, which is totally fine. But man, I relate to that so much. Okay, yeah. So you're sulking a little bit. Like, you're just like piecing it together, but you're a little quiet.
Yeah, I'm just trying to cool off a little bit before saying things that are like a bigger feeling than I actually feel. And
yeah.
He just was like, well, okay, like, I guess today's rude. Like, he immediately then feels so like, well, I guess this is this whole thing now. So he would rather say how he feels right then and then apologize later. And I would rather wait and not have to apologize. But it's just like, these are the...
Yeah, exactly. Yours doesn't ever come.
Yes. But to him.
You guys all just go off and you mull it over and you make peace with yourself. But like, we don't... Yes, that's so interesting. And how many times I have said, I guess the day's ruined because I did some little thing and he needs 3 seconds to fucking just come out of his funk where he thought I was doing the mean thing or whatever. And it's I've been through that a million times. That's so funny.
Oh, I know. Which is...
it's so nice to hear someone else does it.
Yeah, I mean, how you're saying that you were afraid to do it with your boyfriend because you're like, oh my god, is this gonna be like too rocky? There are times where we end the episode, we're like, oh fuck, like, should we be showing people just that we don't know really what our relationship looks like if we do have a bad day or whatever? But it has been so nice to get comments from people like, oh my god, thank you, and now we feel so much less alone if like we're having a similar fight. So I think it's
nice.
You do see too many Instagram versions of couples. And then I think you feel extra like shit if you have a bad day with your partner, because you're like, well, I guess we're fucking doomed. And it's like, no, it's just...
Everyone's like rational and thoughtful and remorseful and just, you know, full of gratitude for their partner. Even when they're like talking about tough times, they always like talk about the most healthy way in which they handled it. Like, at least the stuff I'm being sold is like partners just being super empathetic towards each other and being like, and maybe admitting they did wrong, but it just... Even the bad seems good. That's the illusion of Instagram. Yeah, like, even the things that are like, this is my real acne. And you're like, well, fuck you. That's not even that bad. Or like, look at my cellulite. And you're like, that?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, I guess you're showing me your worst. I'm still I feel bad about myself because it's not as bad as my worst.
Right.
Even the bad stuff is curated. So that's nice. And I mean, that's what I think that's what we are as comedians better at than, pretty much everyone else is just saying humiliating things or being really vulnerable in a way that most other people would be like, you can't put that out. And we're just like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. It's fine. As long as it was funny.
The clip that you were talking about with the woman in the crowd who's like a super fan of Chad's.
Yeah.
And I mean, we talked about that on the podcast because that blew up online into this whole... it has like over 12 million views on TikTok in a couple of days. Like, it went so much crazier than I expected it to. And then you do have people like, oh shit, like, what's he doing? Like, what's going on, girl? Like, can you trust him? And I'm like,
are you kidding me?
It's so funny.
People are so weird.
Yeah.
And you know what? Men are such pieces of shit. Like, so many women are dealing with just a horrible men that the assumption that there's anything shady going on with that fan and Chad from your clip makes me realize there's a problem of like cheating and just shittiness going on. Oh, if that's God. The first reaction someone has.
Yeah.
But it kind of, yeah, that's what you see. Like TikTok comments. I mean, they've got to be the worst, right? Like I'm not on TikTok, but I hear that's those are the worst ones. They're up there with YouTube.
I made the mistake of re-downloading Twitter to post the video because somebody else had posted it and I got, and they didn't tag me, of course. And I got like 6 million views, which is always how that goes. And I looked at the comments there and I was like, ooh, like these people are like truly the
Twitter. Twitter's
toxic.
The worst.
Yeah.
YouTube's actually not so bad these days.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. How bad okay. was.
Yeah. It's, I didn't even know. I don't even think about it anymore, but yeah, I'm guessing. And, Threads, how did they take it? I'm just kidding.
I know. Poor Threads. I LinkedIn. Joined when everybody said you should join, and I've posted four times. And
I haven't done anything.
That's everybody, yeah. It's Threads was a disaster. Yeah. But everyone's really nice on Threads. If you post on Threads, generally they're like, thank you for being here.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you for existing.
Yeah, how did you guys, should we go to break? Noah, are you saying, honey? Yeah, let's go to break because I want to hear about the genesis of your relationship with comedian Chan Daniels because two comedians dating, I always want the scoop and I haven't had it yet. So we'll cover that when I get back if she wants
to. Of course,
We'll see. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we're back with Kelsey Cook. You can follow her on Instagram, Kelsey Cook Comedy. And she has a special called The Hustler that is out on YouTube now. And then you can go see her tape her... New Hour, April 6th in Madison, Wisconsin. Where are you taping that?
Comedy on State.
Comedy on State. Oh my God, the great greatest club. Comedy
I've
club
never
in the country.
There. This is kind of wild to shoot the first time going there, but everybody has said it's so good that I feel like it's
That place, God, man. That place is you, girl. Oh, like that place is like I've being there. It's like, oh my God, the kind of comedy you do is gonna fucking kill there. Like really, just great jokes, bombastic, like just interactive. Like it's the perfect place for that, and it's such a good energy. It's such a good place, as you well know from like every comedian that talks about it. It really is gonna be amazing. So April 6th, get tickets to go see that. So yeah, your boyfriend is one of the funniest comedians that every comedian cites as like their favorite comedian. Chad Daniels, he's been around forever. You said older than you. You obviously knew about him before, or did you? How did you guys end up being together?
You're a super fan.
Yeah, I am a super fan.
Did you go
fan,
on one of his shows and yell at him? And
yeah, were you a super fan? Every comedian that knows anything knows Chad Daniels is one of the best. So it's like, You had to have been a fan.
Yeah, I
you came. Went to his girlfriend's show and yelled at her.
Yeah, I became the biggest super
you
fan.
Started
I
it.
Bought a house with the man. That's like the creepiest thing you can do as a fan. The first time I had heard of him, actually, I was on my way to the airport and my Lyft driver was playing his album.
Wow.
And I had heard his name before just through comedy, but I hadn't ever listened to his stuff. Sure. And this Lyft driver and I ended up like bonding the whole ride because we were both just dying laughing at his album. And
how long did you guys date?
And, really, really started a great relationship with him. But no, it was so like mind blowing to me how I just like could not stop laughing out loud that whole ride. He was so funny. And then I had Chad on my web series, Wrists of Fury. I had a foosball web series on YouTube for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the first time we met is actually on YouTube. Like, you can watch us.
Whoa. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's fun to.
Wait, if I watch it, am I going to be like, oh my God, there's so many signs these two are like crushing?
You could definitely see like some chemistry, I think.
Yeah.
But I was married at the time and he was in a relationship.
Oh, so I'm sure there's none.
Well, oh no, but you know what's so funny is like I feel like having like a really fun, good time on camera, but like when the camera was off, I thought that Chad like hated me. I thought that he because he was trying to be really respectful to his girlfriend and to my husband. And so I mean, that day I was like kind of sad because I was like, oh God, I think he's so funny, but like I don't even think he likes me as a person. Like I really felt like nothing would ever, you know.
That's happened so often when you like, I know that it's happened to me a bunch, and not even because I'm trying to respect someone in a relationship, and this could if you're in a relationship, you happen to like have feelings for someone else, like it happens to people. It's not a bad thing if you catch feelings while you're in a relationship. Let's just like get over that first and foremost. Sure. You can't help what you feel. But like when I like someone, or even like I go the opposite way because I don't want them to know, and I don't want myself to even recognize it, especially if I'm with someone. I like don't want to acknowledge it.
Right.
So I go the other way and I'm like, instead of being a neutral person that's just friendly, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, overcompensate.
Like I turn into kind of mean, and I overcompensate because I'm so scared of letting in that feeling and I can't let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times guys have been that I liked have been like, she hates me, including my boyfriend Chris, like was about to quit my show that he was working on.
Wow.
when I was in love with him before we got together. Wow. And he was gonna quit because, or like look for other work, because he's like, the host hates me, she doesn't look at me, she doesn't talk to me. And it was really, I probably could be, I like get me too'd for this, but like I was mean to him because I liked him so much. I wasn't trying to be, but I was not a good boss because I liked him so much and I couldn't let him see that because it was too vulnerable. But that's really funny that I love like going back and being like, you were so weird to me that first day. Like, so when did you guys reconnect? Like, when were you both single again? You got a divorce. I mean, God damn, girl, you've been through a lot.
Yeah, 2020. 2020 was a lot. And then I moved to Spokane feeling like, okay, I'm going to move home. I'm going to like have kind of a fresh start. 2021 is going to be great. And literally 3 weeks after I moved home, my mom went to the hospital. So it was just like,
God damn,
there was a lot of hard stuff. And Nikki, you were saying that
can you say why she went to the hospital the first time?
So she went and I found her on her floor, called 911, and
God damn it.
She had a perforated stomach ulcer. Her gallbladder was full of stones and she had COVID. So she was like almost septic.
Triple threat.
Yeah, they did emergency surgery. And when she came out of surgery, she was a completely different person because she had underlying dementia and we didn't realize an anesthesia can accelerate dementia.
Oh, no.
Oh, it like lets it out. Fuck.
Yeah. So it really like.
God, Kelsey, shit.
Why?
Are your parents still together?
No. So.
Were they not at this time? Was your mom, did you have like a stepdad or is she dating anyone? Or is it just you? Do you have brothers? Do you have siblings helping out?
I have a younger brother, but he's almost 6 years younger than me. And, you know, lived out of state, had a baby on the way.
So this was a lot on you.
Yeah. I was there with her in the hospital every day for 5 months, basically. It was like
a lot. During COVID hospital, like weird times.
Yeah. When she came out of the surgery, I mean, she for a long time thought she had time traveled because it was like everybody in these like giant hazmat suits around her. Like it was so disorienting for her. And,
yeah. She didn't have dementia. She was just confused why everything.
Right. I mean, anybody like, comes out of surgery.
Dementia's advanced. She's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. I can't believe anesthesia can accelerate it. That's just horrifying.
I know. I know. So, yeah. I know, Nikki, we haven't really talked in so long, and I just was like,
yeah, there's a lot.
Like, fucking hate dementia.
So
but I've just seen the highlights. I've seen you just like, you know, just blow up online and then have this relationship. So I thought everything was. You know,
that's Instagram. I mean, that's social media. Instagram, you think baby. She's just living a high life,
yeah.
Getting all these followers, touring, getting a new boyfriend.
The
little
is,
do you know, she's getting divorced.
That.
Her mom's in hospice.
Yeah. And that's why
we really can have it all.
Yeah. I started to post more about my mom in the last maybe year or so. Because it was nice to feel more of a connection to people online who were going through something similar, but it also just felt like it felt so weird to not show this entire part of my life that was happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I'm sure.
For a long time, I just felt like, I don't know if she would want me to be like posting about this, but you do get to a point where you're like, okay, it's been years now. Like she also would want people who love her, who maybe don't know that this is happening, to know about it. But anyway, that was.
I'm going out to dinner with my parents tonight. I'm going to ask them when their mind starts to go, if it's okay if I post. Like I'm going to get their permission because I'll be tempted to want to, and they'll probably say no, and then I can't. So I probably shouldn't ask and just ask for permission later. But it is important to show that part of it. It sucks when you have to, as a comedian and as someone who has two podcasts and you're on stage every night and you just. You want to be able to share every facet of your life. And I don't think most people have private parts of their life, but it really sucks when you got to make one as a comedian, a major one that is influencing every way you see the world. Now you can't say why this might be your overall tone about other things, underlying thing. You want to be able to get it all out. So that's really good that you can now.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I felt the same way about my mattress. I mean, it was so long. I was wondering whether I should share my mattress journey with
and
the people.
And we really regret that you did. I think it was too soon.
But the outpouring of negativity that came was inspiring.
Well, Kelsey, how did you and Chad start talking again?
So,
like, when did that happen?
It was a little bit of a, felt like a kind of a Jim and Pam thing for a while after that, where like kind of one of us would reach out and be like, hey, how are you doing? And the other person would be in a relationship. And then that person would be out of the relationship and reach out to them. And then they would be in a relationship. And so it, you know, and like I said, that first time I met him, I really was like, oh, I don't even think he likes me as a person. He was so stone-faced. And it's funny now, because even the first, I don't know, good chunk of our relationship in the beginning, he was so hard to read because he just was so terrified to get hurt. He had all of these walls up. But we would go on dates and I would be like, I'm having fun. Are you having fun? because he would just, we'd be like mini golfing and he would just have like,
he'd be so nervous that he has to like turn it off.
Yeah. Like no expression on his face. And
you knew there was more to this guy because you can see his comedy. Like if there weren't ways for you to watch him on podcasts and watch him on YouTube, like, you know, this guy, the guy that you are attracted to, is lurking somewhere underneath all of this. Yeah. It's like, why can't you be like this around me? When like, eventually, obviously, that edifice like fell away and you were able to like get to that. But it did, how many dates did it take? How long before?
Months. I mean,
why is he so nervous?
Because we were long distance for the first, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you're starting over every time, kind of.
But yeah, I mean, he's opened up about it on the podcast, but really, really felt so strongly about me, which is so sweet, but would like hide that because he was afraid to get hurt. And so he just kind of like really kept walls up for a long time until he felt, I think, for sure that I wasn't going to hurt him or that it was going to work out. But yeah, it took a long time and a lot. It went slower than any relationship I've ever been in.
Interesting.
Very, very
well, that's out. And then now it's working.
And now,
and he has kids, right?
Yes, he does.
And how long did it take you before you met them?
So I met,
and was that so? I would be so nervous because they're like teens, right? They're like teen girls.
So he has a 24-year-old son and a 19-year-old daughter.
Oh yeah, so they're beyond teen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least one of that. That's a lot. That's so like they're like closer to your age. Like it's like that's my like dream. Because you kind of like, they're over that stage where they're like, you're not my real mom. So it's like, there's not that pressure that you're filling the shoes of this person who like, they don't even live with their dad anymore. So it's not like but it's also like they're adults. So they might like roll their eyes at you a little bit more. Like what was your feeling going into that?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
So his son was a little bit easier to connect with initially, not necessarily to connect with, but just like, I felt like he accepted me a little bit more quickly. Mm-hmm. He and his daughter are very close, and they, I think, have been able to spend a lot of time, just the two of them, hanging out. And so for me to come into the picture, I think felt like it disrupted her typical quality time with her dad. And I think I talk about this a little bit on stage. I wanted her to like me so badly initially, but that has to be so weird for somebody in her position to try to like me, because I'm posting jokes online about like blowing her dad, and it's like,
God.
That's
no,
truly like, what? That would be weird.
It's the worst nightmare.
A 19-year-old was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, like welcome to Thanksgiving. Any 19-year-old would be like, gross.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I would feel so disgusted if my stepmom talked about that.
We're porn, Kelsey. We're porn stars. Like we're making jokes, but some of the stuff we describe, if you close your eyes, it's porn for the blind. Like there's no dip. Like we're describing a very intimate sexual act, sometimes in graphic detail. And you're
porn for the blind.
That's the worst. I would hate you already because you're like pretty and you're young and like you're taking time away. Like. I was number one for my dad now, and it seems like he's like kind of splitting number one with someone else. Like, I don't want to share it. Like, we can all relate to that feeling. Not all of us, but if you have a good relationship with your dad, like, I would hate it. I secretly wanted my parents to divorce when I was little because I wanted to hate a stepmom. It looked so fun. Like, on, Freaky Friday or, Parent Trap. Like, I wanted to, like, put frogs in someone's sleeping bag and like, I don't know, like put Nair in her shampoo and have her be like, ah! I think that's from the Craft. That was a little bit worse, but I just wanted to like terrorize a woman and hate her. And cause I can't talk to my mom that way. I can't be like, fuck you. But like, it feels like you could say fuck you to like your dad's new girlfriend, you know? And I just wanted to shout like, you're not my real mom at someone. And sadly for me, they stayed together. Oh God.
It's unfortunate, but
that is when your parents are divorced, did you have to meet a new dad's girlfriend type thing? Had you been on that side of things before?
Oh yeah. My stepmom was in the picture early on, and she was very different from my mom.
A little too early on?
A little too early on.
like before before things even went down on.
I was trying to be careful about how I talk about it now on podcast because I was like too open one time and it was they didn't appreciate
it. Yeah, it comes back to get you. Okay.
But yes. Yeah, they just very, very different households between my dad and stepmom's house and my mom's. You know, growing up, like my dad's house became very strict. It was like a little Handmaid's Tale sort of a vibe. And so I had a lot of resentment toward my stepmom and my dad when I was younger. And so the way that if his daughter feels negatively toward me, I'm always like, I get it.
I've been there.
An unnatural thing. Like, you don't think you're rooting for your parents to, like, fuck until they're fucking somebody else that isn't your mom. And then you're like, who is this? Like, I don't like this. This isn't right.
Yes. Oh, you mean you don't realize that you're rooting for your parents to fuck each other until they're fucking someone else?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
You're always like grossed out by that initially. But then when they are dating somebody else, you're like, oh, I don't want them to sleep with these other, who are these people?
It's so much grosser.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian, you dealt with it too. Were you, was there initial like, oh, who's this woman? I hate her feelings.
Well, my stepdad was the first person in the picture and he was great. I mean, I never got to say you're not my real dad. I just, he was an amazing guy and
That's great.
He was just an amazing guy, an amazing stepdad. And he was like a second dad to me and my brother and my half sister. And, I was just very pleased.
That's great.
Oh, shit,
right? I was just very pleased the whole time.
Yeah, I think I would have eventually gotten used to it, but at first it would have been it'd be very hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's there is a part of me that dreams of being like, I don't know if I'm gonna be a mom someday, but I would be like I think I'd be a pretty good stepmom. I think I would be, like you're saying, empathetic about how this isn't easy and all those things. There's a part of me that's like holding on for that, like I don't know what could happen. Like, maybe that's what I'll do in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what is it? So where are you right now? I can tell you're on the road because you're in the classic hotel room setup.
Yeah, I am in Tacoma right now.
Oh,
yes, comedy club.
The Spokane of the West.
Of the West, yes. So, which I love this club so much. It's actually my home club. I was a house MC there like 12 years ago. So it's so fun to come and do it now. But
are you staying in the hotel that celebrates all the glass artists in town?
You know,
there's some, is Tacoma the one that's like the town of glass, or is that's maybe,
I think it's the Chihuly Glass Museum or something like that.
There's some, and in Tacoma is where, they filmed that scene in 10 Things I Hate About You.
The house is so close to here. You know what? I have a rental car. I should do that tomorrow. I've always...
You should go to the football field where there's like, you know, the grandstand, like the stands where he does that, I love you, baby. And it's Heath Ledger running up and down. Like, it's so iconic and it's such a cool looking thing. And I went there when I was in Spokane years ago. I went to go look at it. I ran over there and there were these two other women there. And we were just kind of like looking at each other like, are you here because 10 Things I Hate About You? And they're like, yeah, I am too. And we're like, oh, this is so random. Like, you know, 23 years later after that movie. And I've remained, those women were like, what do you do? And I was like, I have a show tonight. You want to come? So they came to that show and they have come to every single show in that area for like the last 8 years or whenever, however long that was. But I made friends that day. But yeah, that's a cool one to go see. I'm not someone who's like, you're going to go do it. But if you have a car, you might as might as well.
Thank you for reminding me. I mean, that is one of my all-time favorite movies, and
I've
looked it up on Google Maps before and made a mental note, but I forgot until I'm back here now that I should do it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay, we're gonna go to break and come back right after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
So, Kelsey, you and your boyfriend, you moved to, where does he live?
We live in Minneapolis now, yeah. So,
wow.
I've never done that.
How's that?
Before to move.
Yeah, but
To Minnesota, of all places. Like, anytime I see one, they're like, well, you must really fucking love him, because that is a butthole of a...
Do you have anybody out there? Any friends or... Who's the closest person?
And I shouldn't say, it is nice now. I do really like it. It's not a butthole. But I moved there in January last year. It's brutal.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like negative 25.
You can ice fish.
Yeah.
And you're on the road so much, it's like probably hard to get friends. Like,
yes.
You're serious when you say do you have like girlfriends that you've met on your own? Like, it's hard to meet friends as an adult in a new city. How the fuck do you do it? I mean, I'm sure you have friends that of his that you've met through him, but.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to art classes on Monday nights? Like, where are you going to meet some chicks?
It's so hard. I think it's hard just as an adult to make friends anyway, but this is an especially weird career to try to make friends in, because I'm gone all the time, and I think it gets exceedingly hard to connect with people who aren't comedians, because your job and your lifestyle are so specific that to like start from scratch with a new friend who's just like works in a dental office, you're kind of like, oh
yeah,
you're just honestly I feel like a freak.
Yeah,
like a little bit, like you're just, it's, there's something elitist to being like, it's hard for us to be friends with normal people. Yeah. But it's not even that. I feel like a night walker or something.
Yeah.
Or I feel like I'm from the sewer system or something. Like, I feel like I live in a different world where we talk about things differently. We communicate more honestly and openly. And like, that's why I'm drawn to autistic people right out of the gate, because they're like, they kind of operate on that honest level.
Yes.
I think maybe, but yeah, it feels hard for me to make friends locally, even though I know that I have so many people that listen to this podcast and they would be a great friend of mine. And most of my girlfriends are not comedians. To make new friends though, I just feel like it takes, the only way I know I'm going to be friends with someone is if they're instantly like really fucking, they share a weird thing, or it's like, and it can't just be like, don't try to just come up to me and say something weird and think we're going to be best friends. Like, it has to be like something. There's just a moment where I just know, you know, and it doesn't happen that often. And then you have to nurture it. And you really have to like work on relationships, you know, friendships, like relationships. You can't just like meet someone and then like once every 6 months hang out with a new friend. That's not going to take off. You got to like see them frequently.
Yes, it's so hard. And I completely agree with what you're saying. Me saying like, oh, it's hard to connect with somebody who's a dental hygienist isn't a dig on them. It's like a dig on me.
No,
like,
no, they're horrible. I mean, if you're trying to be friends with one of them, all they want to talk about is teeth. It's like, is there anything else going on?
I mean,
their son is doing hockey this fall, winter. And so they have to sign up for that. There's things that are going on in their house. No, Yeah, it's just a different...
What you're going to have a hard time with in my theory on Friends, my circle of friends is my theory on Friends.
Oh, yeah, he has another theory.
Yeah, I have another theory. This I know a little bit more offhand. Your core group is your third circle of friends, and that's a group of people that you're friends with mostly because of proximity. And so, like, when you're in a new place, like a new city, like you moved to Minneapolis, one of your primary goals, if you're looking for friends, is to find a core group. And those are people that you can consistently hang out with in the city you live in. You may not be friends with those people if you moved out of Minneapolis. Some of them you could. Some of them can move up. But having a core group, I found, usually it's 4 to 6 people mm-hmm. that you can consistently do things with. What are you doing on 4th of July? Like, shit like that.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. This isn't going to happen for Kelsey, and it's not going to happen for me, because we're on the road from Thursday through Sunday. When we get home, we don't really want to hang out with anyone Monday through Thursday. You got your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You got maybe his kids coming in. Like, it's enough for 4 days with the boyfriend and being alone.
Yeah. You're not on the road every single
week. Yes, she is.
Forever.
Most weekends. Yes,
forever.
Yes, forever. That's
there'll
what this
be
is.
Times when you take off. There'll be times
when I'm taking off for the first time in fucking over a year, mm-hmm. and I'm going to Australia for the whole goddamn time. I'm not like hanging out in St. Louis. When we have any time off, we go on vacation.
Well, that's fine. You're right.
Friends.
It's a special circumstance. If you're never in the city, then I guess you don't really live there. I mean, you have a home there that you go sleep in.
That's kind of feels true sometimes. Yeah. Like, Kelsey, I'm sorry to say what I think you're experiencing. Does that resonate? Like, when you're off the road, like, don't you just not want to do anything?
Well, and it's tough too, because Chad also is gone the same amount of time I am. Yeah. So we're in a long distance relationship still half of the week. So then when we're home, we're like trying to almost binge each other, it feels like, and like pack in quality time.
And suits.
Yes. But then if I'm home for a weekend and he's gone, that is the time where it feels desperate. That's when I'm like, fuck, like, I really
It'd be nice to have a core group.
Yes.
Like, just, but I have started to hang out a little bit with, there are some comedians' girlfriends who live there. And that's like a little bit, even if they don't do comedy, they get that world. And it's, that has been an easier friendship.
So, like, local comedians in Minneapolis, their girlfriends.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That'll do.
That's the makings of a core group right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are
going
to be playing pickleball in no time.
I'm going, like, I feel like most, you know, yeah, I feel like in St. Louis, I don't have that many. I have Taylor, and I have my mom has turned into someone that I like to
Kirsten
hang out with.
Kirsten doesn't live there?
No, Kirsten lives in Kansas City.
Oh.
So yeah, most of all my best friends are on Girls Chat, and we're talking constantly on there. But face to face, it's like I don't have a lot of that. But tonight I am I'm taking my parents to dinner, and then we're going to see Tim Dillon's in town. And I'm excited because he's literally my favorite comedian right now. I like consume everything he does. And like, I just randomly, someone was like, oh yeah, and I'm going to see Tim Dillon. My friend Bobby J. Cox was asking me for tickets, and I go, sorry, I want tickets now. You told me he was in town. And so I wrote Tim, and Tim's like, do you want to do a set? And I'm like, I guess. Like, I'm like, man, I got to do a set tonight. Like, I just wanted to like enjoy it, but you can't turn it down because it's a great audience to be in front of. And I'm such a Tim Dillon, and it's such an honor to even, you know, be on the stage with him. So I'm doing it. But like, some nights you're just like, man, do I have to? And all of a sudden I'm nervous, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And it's like, you know, a 7-minute set, but I am like, what's the best material for his crowd? Like, I never overthink this shit. And I'm like, oh man, now I got to perform. But when I'm done, I'll be so excited to just watch comedy. I'm so excited to go to a show tonight and let loose. Cause I rarely like go to shows. I just started going recently. Do you get to watch many of Chad's shows, or do you ever go on the road with him if you're not working, or vice versa?
Well, everything you just said I relate to it so hard. I went to a couple of his dates on the Bert Kreischer tour over the summer.
Oh yeah.
And truly just went as like, I just want to support. I just want to watch. This is such a cool opportunity. And then we get there and it's literally 15 minutes before the show starts. And Bert's like, you want to open the show? And I'm like, God,
oh,
like,
damn.
Because these are like,
I have to say yes, don't I?
Like,
I do.
Stadiums and arenas.
Yes.
And I'm so type A. Like, I'm never cool about anything. I can never just be like, yeah, sure, fucking, that'd be awesome. I'm like, okay. And then I immediately, like, almost shit my pants, had like IBS flare up, and freaking out, thinking the same things
oh,
that
man.
You're thinking, where it's like,
well, that fits right in on the Burt Kreischer tour.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that did.
That's his closer, I think. That's that's so crazy, dude, that you got presented with that, because those are, I've done those shows, they're not easy, a lot of them are outdoors, yeah. Everyone's drunk, and to open them, like, when they're not yeah. when it's still light outside, they're a tough crowd, I would say, yeah. And there's thousands of them, it's like 10,000 people sometimes.
I mean,
15-20
I've never yeah. done even close to that big of a crowd before. And so anyway, when you're just saying that, like, you don't usually get nervous, but when it's somebody else's crowd, who, like,
dude,
they're not
I
there
just,
to see you, but you, like,
yeah,
you, they're a great crowd, a great comic, you want to make an awesome impression, but yeah, I mean, of course you can't say no. I did it.
You can't say no. Yeah. This is the mm-mm. thing about this great career that we have, these great opportunities come up. Like, I got asked to go to Steven Tyler's Grammy party
oh
this
God.
Weekend.
Holy
I had the weekend
shit.
Off, my first weekend off in St. Louis in forever. Yeah. And I had vocal cord surgery 2 years ago, and it's the same surgeon that did Steven's cord. So he, like, told Steven about me, and somehow I got on some list. I didn't even met Steven Tyler, but I'm on some list where I got invited to this party. And I swear to God, it came in and I go, God damn it. Why did they like, I have to go. You can't not go to a huge celebrity party during the Grammys where the Black Crowes are playing. And there's like this celebrity auction. There's going to be all this shit. So I'm like flying in just for that. But there's, I think everyone can relate to, like I'm going, but like, wow, I wish they wouldn't have asked, even though it's so cool.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, I hate having anxiety. I hate like setting myself up to be nervous about something, but like, that's obviously why we got into this, is because it gave us some sort of thrill yeah. mm-hmm. to overcome a fear of speaking in front of people and doing this thing that's very scary, and it's like we get high off of it.
Yeah,
I did it because I was ordered by a court.
The people need
your almost done actually.
People would rather do fucking anything than say, can you imagine? That would really cut down on crime.
Oh, yeah.
If one of the punishments was having to perform stand-up comedy, I really mm-hmm. think that would deter criminals, because that is people's biggest fear, is public
yeah.
speaking. That would be, yeah. that's a really good idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Noah, if you were told that you had to do 5 minutes of stand-up comedy at an open mic in front of Tim Dillon's crowd. No. At a Tim Dillon show.
I don't
know. In front of his fans.
You gotta do 40 hours of comedy service.
I think
that's
I would kill
such a
myself.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And we do it voluntarily.
Yeah.
It's
60 days in.
What a great career. Yeah.
Really.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And it was, that was so kind of Burt to offer, and it ended up
yeah.
being amazing. But yeah, it's just, it is so much pressure with so little notice.
And Burt is the king of like, yeah, we'll just do it.
Yeah.
Like who get like,
yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's just like, so like, yeah, like it, you know, Burt is obviously, he's a very type A person too, in many ways, but there's also on that tour, especially, there's just this casualness. And also cause he's like the king of it. Like you'd be like, yeah, run this part of my country. Who gives a shit? Like, I'm the king.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't seem like a big deal. Final thought. It's also really helpful when you are someone who gets so nervous about something to have it just like you don't get to think about it. You don't have time. You just have to fucking do it.
Yeah, it's good for you.
Do you find that like it after the, do you find that you're like, oh, I'm able to do it on the fly. Maybe I don't need to worry as much. And does it help you not worry as much, or you stick to how you are?
It has not stuck. And it drives me crazy because I've like proven to myself like several times in this career, like you can do stuff under pressure. You can do stuff with little warning. And anytime an
yeah.
opportunity comes up that's high pressure, I still psych myself out the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just the natural thing to do. I agree. I'm just like, I want to just like start, like I just recorded this song today. It's been all week. Like I have a song that I'm putting at the end of my special, and I couldn't afford to get a song that I like wanted because they're like $30,000 and stuff. So I was like, oh, I'll just write a song. And I just like kind of, as soon as I floated it, like, would anyone let me do that? And they said yes. I'm like, oh no, I just Bert Kreischer'd myself. I just Steven Tyler'd myself. Like, I just gave myself an opportunity that I can't say no to now. Yeah. Like, if I say no, then I'm forgoing this opportunity to grow and challenge myself. So I did it, and I had a producer fly in, and we booked out studio time, and I've never home Monday through Friday, but I was this week. And so wrote this song and recorded it. And my vocals, I'm just like, man, I'm not where I want to be vocally to really nail this the way I want to nail it. And part of me is like, well, then you should wait, like record the song later when you are trained vocally to be good enough. And then another part of me is just like, write another fucking song. Because I remember getting so many opportunities early on in my career and knowing that I sucked, like knowing I'm like, I'm 3 years into comedy. I shouldn't be on Last Comic Standing. But what am I going to say no to that?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be bad. Somebody trusted me to think I was good enough. And not that there's the someone in this scenario is just my producer and my friends being like, no, this is good enough. Like, this sounds great. What are you talking about? But it's just like, you just got to go like, you know what? I'm just going to do my best that I can do right now. And there's something to glean from that. Like, Taylor Swift does not sound vocally as strong in her first album at all, not even close to what she sounds like now. Now, would we tell her you should wait till you're 33? Well, then we wouldn't have the Taylor Swift we have now if she waited till she was, and she probably got vocally so much better within a couple years of that album, but you gotta just take some chances and throw some stuff out first and maybe not be as good as you hope to be, you know? Like, not everything's gonna be at fucking 10, and sometimes you just gotta go, well, I don't have enough. You gotta Joe Coy it. I only have 10 days to prepare, but I'm gonna try my best. And then I'm gonna blame it on the fact that I had 10 days, but it was really more than 10 days.
Out.
Because if you look at the announcement, it got announced on December 26th. So that's actually 12 days before it happened. And then you add into the fact that he probably got asked to do it a couple days before they announced it. So he probably had like 14 days, and that's just, I'm just gonna add that to the argument. We don't need to go back and bring up old stuff, but yeah, you can, and that is nice. You can blame it on it sometimes and be like, well,
some people release hour specials that aren't ready and then it hurts them. Like, sometimes it's like, you probably should have waited a little bit longer before you did your first hour.
Yeah, but then you do not do it.
Yeah.
I think so. Especially if you're just releasing it yourself on YouTube these days.
Well, okay, that's different. If it's you that's telling you got this, but if it's some fucking network that believes in you or someone that believes in you, like, shouldn't you just try? And then if you fail miserably, go, you know what? Well, I'm going to Taylor Swift, and I'm going to sing a little off key or whatever it was. I haven't even seen the performance at the Grammys. The first one she did, she got panned for it. Mm. And then I'm going to take them saying that I'm a flash in the pan and that I am not as good as people thought I was. And I really just, I blew it on the biggest stage possible. And I'm going to train so hard. I'm going to get so good. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to win a Grammy for a song I wrote about the fact that I was bad at one point. And you can do that. Like, there's a way out, even if you embarrass yourself so much. There's always a way to come out. If you're great, people might say, yeah, you used to be bad. But like, if we're talking about the same comedian I'm thinking about that we might be talking about, it who maybe got a chance too soon and released a special and everyone's like, it's not as good as we all thought it would be, that guy or girl, but that guy can now go away and work so fucking hard and come back and be like, oh, you thought I was bad? Yeah, maybe I was. But like, he has ample opportunity to blow us all away at some point.
But he's not gonna, and he's not gonna try. And he's not Taylor Swift.
But
so.
He could.
But he's not.
Yes, he could.
Taylor Swift, and this guy is not that. But you know,
it's just hard.
Brian, you just defeated my whole point. So you're thinking that like you should sometimes say no to
Michael
things.
Jordan did it. Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team, and then he came back and became the greatest of all time.
At least. He didn't get cut himself. What I'm saying is, like, do you turn down the opportunity to do a special
right.
if you feel you're not ready?
They asked Michael Jordan to be on the high school basketball team. He declined. He said, I'm not ready. I need to practice a little bit more. And then he joined the Bulls a few years later. Have I declined things that I wasn't? No, of course not. You have to just go full hog into this shit. And if you fuck up, but the problem with that philosophy is that frequently, I'd say more often than not, you go, you fuck up, and you don't get another chance. They just brand you.
There's so many people I would say also, if you try and then you, or if you get asked to do something and you say no, you'll never get asked again.
Yeah.
So there's like, there's also that you, it's at least you did something. Like, you know, my friend Tim, my boyfriend's brother, was like, you know, they were on the Tonight Show, and he's like, that's the biggest thing I'll ever do. His band was on the Tonight Show in 2008, I think. And now he's a comedian, and the band, you know, plays a little here and there, but that was like their big shot. He's like, that's the biggest thing I ever did. And they like fucked up a chord. Like they played a different version of the song. It was like a thing. And I'm like, was that discouraging? He's like, yeah, we kind of fumbled on the biggest thing we'll ever do, but it's like, it's still the biggest, yeah. Like it's still the Tonight Show. You can, no one's talking about the performance. You can't take that away. That person can always say I did a Netflix special in 20 years, no one will know what the quality of that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just being able to say it, and you can put it on your tombstone.
Yeah, in 200 years they'll be dead, and then in 2000 years no one will know any individual person no that existed.
Knows. No one cares. Yes, you walk down the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Mm.
You like every third star, you have no fucking clue who that woman is.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you try to Google it, and it's like not even on Google.
No, Google doesn't even know.
Yeah,
no one knows, and she was. She was Angelina Jolie at some point.
Yeah.
Like she was the biggest star of her time. Your grandmother, like, you know, was obsessed with her and knew all about who she was dating. Like, it, but we don't care at all. And this is like, this happens within 20 years.
Yeah.
So it all doesn't really matter, but then it all matters so
now
much.
Now think
so
about like ancient Egypt, and there were like people who are really popular in ancient Egypt that everybody knew.
Well, we're still talking about Cleopatra and King Tut.
Yeah. All you know about are kings. That's all you do really know about is kings. Important politicians is what we know about throughout history.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I'm just, I always get to this point where I'm just like, you get so jealous of someone's success, or you get so discouraged about your own or whatever. Yeah. And then there's the other side of the coin, which is like, we'll all be forgotten and none of this matters. And their life probably isn't as good as what you think it. Like,
I
really can't decide which it is.
Everything was so fucking awesome the last few years, and it's like
true.
Truly, nobody can ever know unless they are really going vlog style on their life and showing you like crying from your hotel room. I mean,
yeah. And then no one really wants to see that, and they like one post about it, and they're like, "You're so vulnerable, thank you." And then it becomes too much, and then you become kind of crazy, and
yeah. I think that
there's only so much suffering someone can witness before they're like, I'm sick of this.
Yeah, it's impossible to make everybody happy about it. But
well, I hope you have good shows in Tacoma this weekend. I'm gonna have a great set with Tim. I can't believe I
already
had the best set of my life tonight.
Oh,
I'm manifesting it. Oh yeah, by the time this airs, I had one of the greatest sets of my life, and I got so many new fans, and I made new friends with people who Tim Dillon heads. And Steven Tyler is wants me to be the godparent to his
that's
kid.
Pretty crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy.
We'll hear about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm thinking Steven Tyler has to have an infant child out there.
I think so. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a
right?
Thing?
Swaddled in his scarves. Yeah. So I'll meet that kid at the party. Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on, and it was so good to catch up with you. And I just feel like this is such a I just feel so good about it because it's been way too long, girl.
I
so
know.
Thank you for being here. And everyone, if you don't know about Kelsey Cook, obviously you do now, but follow her on everything. She's so funny. She's going to have this new special out pretty soon, April 6th, again, Madison, Wisconsin. And check out her special now that's on YouTube, The Hustler, and her multiple podcasts. Thanks so much, Kelsey. You're the best.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's so nice to catch up.
Yeah. This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.